The Youth's Instructor, June 22, 1899, God's Purpose Concerning the Youth of Today, Part 1. Grave responsibilities rest upon the youth. God expects much from the young men who live in this generation of increased light and knowledge. He expects them to impart this light and knowledge. He desires to use them in dispelling the error and superstition that cloud the minds of many. They are to discipline themselves by gathering up every jot and tittle of knowledge and experience. God holds them responsible for the opportunities and privileges given them. The work before them is waiting for their earnest effort, that it may be carried forward from point to point, as the time demands. If the youth will consecrate their minds and hearts to God's service, they will reach a high standard of efficiency and usefulness. This is the standard that the Lord expects the youth to attain. To do less than this is to refuse to make the most of God-given opportunities. This will be looked upon as treason against God, a failure to work for the good of humanity. Those who strive to become laborers for God, who seek earnestly to acquire in order to impart, will constantly receive light from God, that they may be channels of communication. If, like Daniel, young men and young women will bring all their habits, appetites, and passions into conformity to the requirements of God, they will qualify themselves for higher work. They should put from their minds all that is cheap and frivolous. Nonsense and amusement-loving propensities should be discarded as out of place in the life and experience of those who are living by faith on the Son of God, eating His flesh and drinking His blood. They should realize that though all the advantages of learning may be within their reach, they may yet fail of obtaining that education which will fit them for work in some part of the Lord's vineyard. They cannot engage in God's service without the requisite qualifications of intelligent piety. If they give to pleasure and amusement the precious mind that should be strengthened by high and noble purposes, they degrade the powers that God has given them and are guilty before Him, because they fail to improve their talents by wise use. Their dwarfed spirituality is an offense to God. They taint and corrupt the minds of those with whom they associate. By their words and actions, they encourage a careless inattention to sacred things. Not only do they imperil their own souls, but their example is detrimental to all with whom they come in contact. They are utterly incompetent to represent Christ. Servants of sin, careless, reckless, and foolish, they scatter away from Him. Those who are satisfied with low attainments fail of being workers together with God. To those who let the mind drift where it will drift, if not guarded, Satan makes suggestions which so fill the mind that they are trained in his army to decoy other souls. They may make a profession of religion, they may have a form of godliness, but they are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. There are youth who have a certain kind of cleverness, which is acknowledged and admired by their associates, but their ability is not sanctified. It is not strengthened and solidified by the graces and trials of experience, and God cannot use it to benefit humanity and glorify His name. Under the guise of godliness, their powers are being used to erect false standards, and the unconverted look to them as an excuse for their wrong course of action. Satan leads them to amuse their associates by their nonsense and so-called wit. Everything that they undertake is cheapening, for they are under the control of the tempter, who directs and fashions their characters, that they may do his work. They have ability, but it is untrained. They have capacity, but it is unimproved. Talents have been given them, but they misuse and degrade them by folly, and drag others down to their own low level. Christ paid the ransom for their souls by self-denial, self-sacrifice, humiliation, by the shame and reproach he endured. This he did that he might rescue them from the bondage of sin, from the slavery of a master who cares for them only as he can use them to ruin souls. But they make the love of the Redeemer in their behalf of no avail to them, and he looks with sadness on their work. Such youth meet with eternal loss. How will their fun and frolic appear to them in the day when every man shall receive from the judge of all the earth according to the deeds done in the body? They have brought to the foundation wood, hay, and stubble, and all their life work will perish. What a loss! Oh, how much better is the condition of those who act their part in God's service, looking to Jesus for his approval, writing daily in their account book their mistakes, their errors, their sorrows, the victories they have gained over temptation, their joy and peace in Christ. Such youth will not have to meet their life record with shame and dismay.